Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a marvelous, marvelous Monday. Well, it is always a pleasure to bring in UTC second-year football coach. We had him on last week to preview the trip to Western Kentucky, and what an unbelievable experience that was. A 13-10 loss, a game that UTC led almost the entire way. Of course, it had a lot of controversy at the end that we'll touch on. But, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I imagine you've been through just about every emotion possible. I mean, pride in your team, anger about the ending and the way it transpired. What, on a Monday afternoon, how are you feeling about it?
Oh, I'm good. I was good at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, I promise you. So, I mean, that's the thing. Football game, we lost a football game, and we've had some other things come up within our program as some guys have lost some family members within the last 36 hours that makes a football game feel pretty small. So I promise you, 9 o'clock Sunday morning when I was having to talk to a young man, I didn't think about that football game again. So we're good. We're good. But sure, proud of them, proud of how we went out there and battled and played and how prepared we were. That's a credit to our assistant coaches getting these guys ready, and a credit to these kids, how they practice and how they prepare themselves. And just I think we made some strides in the time we had. So excited about it.
Well, and I'm sorry to hear about the loss in the UTC football family. I know it's more than just players and coaches because it includes parents and siblings and all that. So our thoughts and prayers with you and having and the players that are affected. When did you realize – I mean – that game was tight the whole way. I guess it didn't take but just a few minutes before you're like, hey, we can play with these guys and plan to.
I didn't think – I thought once we settled in, period. I mean, at any point in time, that was my biggest concern, was catching up to the speed of it. And then we got out there playing. I'm like, well, this is like a Saturday afternoon scrimmage. We're going to be okay, you know. And that was my biggest concern going in, was just the speed of the game. And it affected Drayton a little more than it did the other guys. You know, just the speed and tempo of their secondary. I thought their secondary was a lot better than what we had anticipated. But I didn't really know what to expect, you know, until we kicked off. And then, you know, when I saw us start blocking them up front first, second play, I'm like, yeah, we're going to be okay. And then, we went out defensively and just went out and just kept playing. And I was like, yes. I didn't feel, you know, at any point in time during that game that, like, it was going to get away from us to where we wouldn't have a chance to win it.
And I guess it had a throwback feel to it, too, when you think about it. I guess they had 254 total yards. You had 225. I mean, it just seemed like one of those low-scoring field position type of deals.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and they did a better job in the second half, and they did some things to us to the offense, our offense in the second half that we hadn't practiced. You know, they had it in their repertoire game 6 or 7, and we can't rep everything, you know, getting ready for one, and wish we'd have spent a couple more days on them and give our kids a little better chance to do some things. But I thought we handled it well, and we adjusted and found ways to move the football without just cramming it up in there and giving us a chance. But, there was a couple of times I thought about kicking a field goal, and there was a couple of times we went for it on fourth down because I knew how important it was to eat some clock and keep them off the field, because I was worried about us holding up defensively the whole time. And we played very complimentary football, you know, offensively and defensively. So I was pleased with that, and in the kicking game for the most part.
All right, and I know you've had to relive the kickoff return several times, so apologies for not being the first on this. But, I mean, I guess it was a up-back that motioned for the returner to stay in the end zone, and officials ruled it as a signaling for a fair catch. Do I have that right, and how did that all transpire?
It was the off returner. It was the off returner, and he's just motioning to Bryce, and is what it is. They made a decision and went with it, that's anytime you got the human element involved in it, there's going to be those situations, and that's what happened, and that's what we got to It wasn't the outcome of the game. That's the biggest thing is I tried to make our kids understand after the game was over. That game didn't come down to those last minute and a half, 2 minutes. This one didn't when it's all said and done. We had opportunities truly to put them away and not have to deal with it being close. I mean, you know, we don't get a fourth and two early in the third quarter. We miss a catch in the fourth quarter that would have kept a drive alive inside the 10-yard line on fourth down. So I mean, you know, that's not what cost us, what everybody remembers. And I told our guys, I said, do you want to take care of things like that? You handle your own business and don't leave it up to somebody else. And that was the explanation, you know, that the offer Turner, you know, signaled for a fair catch, and you know, and that's what they saw, and that's why it was.
Did they blow the whistle at that point, or had the return already gone past you and you thought it was a live play? I mean, had you already heard
I never got excited about it, period, because I kind of let all that stuff happen out, you know, when it does. It was different because they were using electronic whistles. So there was a lot during the course of that game where, you know, our guys have had whistles blown at them, regular whistles. Those electronic whistles, you and I can be standing in the same room. I'm not sure you're going to hear it sometimes. I was a little disappointed it didn't get stopped sooner, for sure. I think there was a couple of things that could have helped that whole situation out a lot better. But, you know, for whatever reason, they let it continue, and then they went back and looked at it. So, I mean, it is what it is. We got to deal with it and move on.
You're listening to Rusty Wright, UTC second-year football coach, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Coach, what's going to be the biggest focus during these 15 bye weeks before your next game?
15 bye weeks. I hadn't had it quite put to me like that. You know, we got to get stronger. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we come out and have a 7-8 minute drive to start the football game and didn't do anything special. I mean, we lined up and ran inside outside zone with the limb and TP, and you know, Drake made a play, and Bryce caught, you know, I think Bryce caught two balls on that first drive to go to seventh all time in career catches here and past TO. So we've got to get stronger. We've got to feel comfortable about playing some younger guys, but they've got to get physically stronger to give us a chance to feel good about not going in there and getting pushed around and being ready for it. And that's the thing. We're going to work on some option stuff here the next 3 weeks before they go home for Thanksgiving defensively. And you know, we're back in the weight room today. I mean, you know, all the guys that played Saturday and the non-travel guys, everybody, the whole team's back in the weight room. Matter of fact, right now, and that's the thing. We've got to get this football team stronger, physically stronger for the long haul, if we're going to have a chance at playing that many games in a calendar year.
When you joined us sometime over the summer, and you were the first one who threw up like 17,000 questions about playing in the spring or even in the winter, how much more clarification have you gotten? Like, I mean, if you guys get a transfer that comes in for winter semester, is he immediately eligible? I mean, if you get early enrollees in recruiting, are those guys part of the picture? I mean, and you may not have to know.
Well, right now they're not. The NCAA is actually revisiting that scenario for the transfers. I don't think it's going to work for the early enrollees, high school kids. I don't think they're going to let that happen where they're eligible to play in the spring. And with all fairness, most of those kids aren't ready to play at that point in time. But they're going to have to do something, because we're going to have kids graduate and we're going to have kids decide not to come back. Other people are going to have that. You're going to have COVID issues. You're going to have injuries. It's just part of it. So you're going to need all hands on deck as much as you can do it. I still have questions. I still have a lot of questions that hadn't been answered. The Southern Conference came out with an 8-game schedule. The CAA, I think, is going to come out with a 6-game schedule, and you have the option to play 2 other games. So does that mean 5-1 team from the CAA is going to be able to go to the playoffs, and I'm going to be sitting here playing 8 games, and I may go 6-2 and not go? I think the Big South's only going to play 4 games, and they're going to send a conference champion, and you're going to tell me a 2-2 or a 3-1 Big South team's going to go, and I'm finished 5-3 and I'm not? You know, so I mean, there's so many disparities and a lot of different things when it comes to that. you know, I'm waiting for somebody to give me clarification that whether it's NCAA, whether it's our conference, whether it's whatever it may be, you know, so I don't know. And I'm still not 100% sold. Everybody's going to get it pulled off because, you know, the way things are trending right now and how the weather is. I mean, my first spring here, it rained 6 inches in 22 hours one day, you know, so I couldn't practice for like 2 weeks, or I couldn't even go outside in January. So am I going to get that week off if I can't practice? There's a lot of things I still got questions about that I've got that don't make me feel warm and fuzzy inside about all this when it's all said and done. So,
how much of a challenge, and you're listening to Rusty Wright, the second year UTC football coach, as far as, I know Jay asked you some things about the months ahead, but do you have any idea what size recruiting class you're going to bring in, given that, I don't know how many players that suited up Saturday. Because they're all eligible to come back, aren't they?
Sure. Yeah, right now they are. Yeah, we do. We've got an idea. It'll be pretty close to what it was last year, maybe two or three less. We've got some open scholarships. We're not still at full number scholarship-wise, so we've got some open scholarships to play with. And you know, it'll be – I think we signed 15, 16 kids last year. I think it'll probably be around that 10, 12 range, somewhere around there. You know, so we're fortunate that we don't have to worry about that, even though, you know, we're going to have some guys next year that'll actually affect us a little more next year, because you're going to have some guys be able to graduate with years of eligibility left, and whether they decide to stay, move on, whatever, that's when it's going to catch up to us. And it'll catch up to the Power Fives and the G5s next year, because they're going to let those guys sign classes, but they've got to get back down to that 85 number by 2022, unless they up the scholarship limit to 100, which, with everybody losing money everywhere, I don't know how that happens. So somewhere along the way, those folks are going to have to purge a couple of classes and get rid of people. So it's going to affect high school kids for the next 2 years. It's going to affect college kids for the next 2 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, I know last week when we had you on, we talked about wanting to hang that banner if UTC had that undefeated fall. And I know you were part of that staff with Russ in 2013 with going down to Georgia State. I mean, and you know, that was a 42-14 win that was 42-0 at one point. So I know that's technically an FCS win over an FBS program, but we've talked about it before. I mean, Georgia State did a rush job to get to the FBS. I mean, what you did Saturday, I thought would have been as nice of a win that this program's had in a while, because Western Kentucky, as everybody knows, is a legit FBS team and has been for a while.
Yeah, they are. Year in, year out, they're historically good football team. And that was the first time I've ever lost to Western. So, it would have been nice. And that game down there when we played Georgia State, that's the only time I ever remember Russ Houston taking his headphones off before the fourth quarter started. So it was actually a nice afternoon for everybody. So, but it would have been good. And like I said, our kids played hard, and they gave themselves a chance to go win it. And that's the thing. I think that's the thing we're starting to understand here. If we prepare and we play like we're supposed to play, we're getting good enough players in here in a bunch of spots to where we'll have opportunities to win football games like that. And it's just like I told them after the game. I said, sooner or later, we'll get to a point where they're not going to be close, boys, and it'll be a lot of fun around here.
Well, congratulations on an excellent showing, and we'll definitely stay in touch, because so many unknowns heading into spring ball. But congratulations again, and thanks as always for visiting with us here on Press Row.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All righty. Rusty Wright, second-year Mox football coach, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Painter Ready poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.